Good morning. Welcome to the Covenant Church. It's good to have you here. Hopefully you got plenty of rest last night, but most probably did not. But we get the other end of it tonight when the sun goes down at almost 7 o'clock. Thanks be to God. So we have a quarterly meeting today right after the service, 11:30-ish, if you want to stay on for that. And also today, there's some special flowers. Rogine LaPlante, it's her 90th birthday today. And if you're watching later, Rogine, happy birthday. God bless you. And we're going to sing happy birthday right now, okay? Happy birthday, Rogine. Don't forget, if you're ordering Easter flowers, those orders are due in 2 weeks. And that's the 28th. And Easter Sunday is in 3 weeks. And I wanted to share with you something briefly. Today, Jewish calendar is the first day of the first month. It's a special day all throughout the Bible. And the first date that it happened was 9 months into the wilderness wanderings. And they were building their tabernacle, building their church. And God said on the first day of the first month, today, put it up. And when they did, the glory of the Lord came down upon the temple and filled it. Just an amazing way. And many scholars believe that Jesus was born in the spring. You know, we celebrate at a different time. And most likely it was on this date as well, because he, the Lord, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He tabernacled amongst us. So with that connection, we have so much to be hopeful for. We have so much to be hopeful for. God's presence, his direction, and it's an exciting time to be living in right now. And just wait. Hope's coming on the horizon. And with that, let us sing.
I see hope coming on the horizon. There's no need for hiding, 'cause I belong. Here I am, in the presence of the great I am, dear to your heart, oh God. I've searched so long, in darkness I've walked so far.
Please join me in the call to worship. The earth is the Lord's and all that is within it.
The world and those who live in it.
For he has founded it on the seas, established it on the rivers. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false, and do not swear deceitfully. They will receive blessing from the Lord, and vindication from God for their salvation. Such is the company of those who seek him, who seek the face of God of Jacob. Let us sing. Lord, you are the majesty of the world and of all of your creation. Oh Lord, let your creation worship you and know that you alone are the God of this universe. You set the stars, you gave them names. Even those who don't know you know the names of your stars. How do we praise you in that way, Lord? Knowing exactly who you have created us to be. Help us, Lord, to fulfill that. Fill our hearts with nothing but your love, your knowledge, your revelations to us. To be the people you've called us to be. Fall on us, Lord, that we may all see who you are in each other. How awesome it is that you, the King of the universe, dwell within us. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We bless you in all the worship and the praise that we give out to you, Lord, to just raise you up above all things. And everything in this earth is called to praise your name because you are our Lord and our God. Join me as we pray the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Our first reading today is Psalm 51, 7 through 12, on page 452 in your pew Bible. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Our next reading is Matthew 15, 10 through 20, and that's on page 797 in your pew Bible. Things that defile. Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat without unwashed hands does not defile." This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we quiet our hearts now before you, knowing that you are here in this place, leading us, guiding us. Oh, we pray to see your glory cloud, your fire. And oh Lord, we open up our minds and our hearts to you. Would you touch them? Would you bring relief where it is needed most throughout our world, our country, our families, our churches? So we lift our eyes to the hills, O God. You are our helper, O God of mercy and loving kindness, our shield, defender, protector. As the Psalms declare, "Part the heavens, O Lord, come down. Touch the mountains, see so that they smoke. The earth so it trembles." There are so many things happening in the natural all throughout the world, Lord. Earthquakes, volcanoes. It's symbolic of what you are doing in the heavens. A tremendous shift, reversal. And just powerful, powerful things you're going to do to rescue, especially your children, Lord. Oh, rescue, Lord, the ones who need it most today. Release them, Lord. Deliver them. And Heavenly Father, we want to lift up a few names. I'll name a few, and you know all the names on our hearts and minds that we're praying for. Bring to mind those that we need to pray for, those that we need to approach with a word from you. We pray your blessing upon Rogine today and Herb as well on her birthday, and just bless her, bless the whole family, O Lord, for your peace and wholeness and wellness. Just thank you so much for the gift that Rogine is to you and to her family and to us. Be with the Anticolis, George and Karen and Ed Nelson and Alice, Art and Claire Peel, Peter Bukovich, and be with Millie Cunningham. You're with her all along for these procedures heading toward the knee surgery. Just be with her for the next step for that, Lord. And also special prayer for Millie's brother-in-law, Julio Montalvo. He's in desperate need of your help and care, Lord. We pray for all who are suffering and isolated today, battling depression, anxiety. Oh, your peace to come. We speak peace in Jesus' name to lives and hearts and minds. Your perfect peace, O God. We receive your perfect peace. We receive the life that you give us. And now we are standing, waiting, watching, O God. Our eyes are upon you for a great deliverance. Baptize us with your fire as you open our minds and hearts and our eyes. Speak your word, Lord. Bless your children. Raise us all up to serve you with all of our heart. A living sacrifice for you, for that is the example that you gave to us. Oh, what we wouldn't do for you, Lord. Lead us and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, kids, your time with Janie. Come on up.
Everybody. Well, in our reading today, especially in Matthew, it's talking about heart. What is our heart? Anybody ever thought about that? What do we mean when we say, like, I love you with all my heart? Does that mean we have our little muscles to guess with? All our love. Okay, good, good. Where is that within us? Soul, yes, the kid paid attention. Yeah. Okay, yes. So our soul is that part deep within us that is where we think, it's where we act, and it's where our emotions. So this is where we are. So here we have our mind. My nephew tells his daughter, just because it's in your mind doesn't mean it has to come out through your mouth. So, something to keep in mind for all of us old people, too. But, okay, and the way we act, the things we do, and then in our emotions. So, and emotions would be like anger, love, kindness, goodness, all the good stuff there, some of the bad stuff. I feel like a little bit more. Anyway, so that is what we mean when we say the heart. It's our total inner self. So, any questions? Good class. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, you love us with all your heart, and we thank you for that so much. That is with your entire being, because you use your body to die for us, as well as to teach, and to just to lead the way in how we live. So, Lord, just help us to follow our hearts through your word. excuse me, and to just to live for you. In your name we pray, and all God's children said,
amen.
Good job.
Morning. Happy daylight savings time. How y'all feeling today? All right, we'll have a little exercise for you guys to help me out with. So I want you to picture this. We have any Golden Girls fans here? Anybody remember Sophia? That was one of my grandmother's favorite shows. So in memory of my grandmother, picture this. Thomaston, Connecticut, Route 8, 2021. You're in your car, driving down the highway. No cars around that you see. Got your favorite radio station on. You're jamming away, relaxed. Life is great. Then all of a sudden, a car comes out of nowhere, up, swerves in front of you, and you have to slam on your brakes just like that. You slam on them so hard, everything in your car flies forward. And what comes out of your mouth?
Razor.
Oh, so I got some... I got some people going, mm-mm. Yeah, we might not want to confess that in church. But really, think about what words actually would come out of your mouth. For argument's sake, let's just all say what we thought may not be the most edifying. But where did that come from, really? I mean, we all love and follow Jesus here. We're all new creations in Christ. We all have the mind of Christ. So really, where did those words come from? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 12:34 that what has been stored up in our hearts will be heard in the overflow of our mouth. So basically, those little slips of the tongue mean there just might be something a little deeper going on in our hearts than we even realized were happening. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here and to worship with my brothers and sisters, to praise your name and to hear your word. I ask that you would use my mouth as your mouthpiece, Lord, and open our hearts and ears to hear what you want to speak to your servants. We are here, Lord, we are listening, and we are waiting. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So today, obviously, we're going to talk about the heart. And we heard Jesus, and from our reading today, talking about the defilement of the heart. But this was a new concept that confused many Jews and offended the Pharisees. See, the Pharisees didn't really teach a lot about the condition of the heart, but they did teach a lot about the laws and rituals and rules about how you can keep your body clean from defilement. They had a ton of strict food laws, even down to how you washed your hands before you ate. And they were very keen and aware of how everybody ate and what they ate, because if you broke any of these laws, there was a purification process you had to go through to make your body clean. So they took the defilement of the body very seriously, but didn't really look at the heart too much. And today we read Jesus trying to draw attention to the heart. He was emphasizing the condition of the heart. But this was an unknown concept. There were no laws given about the heart, although the entire law stemmed from the condition of the heart. The condition of the heart reveals many things about us. And a few verses earlier from our reading today in verse 7, Jesus quotes Isaiah's prophecy saying, "The people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Well, even though Jesus was talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, I think that's a warning for us too today, because we too can fall in that same trap as the scribes and the Pharisees did. It's very easy to praise the Lord with our lips, to publicly pray beautiful prayers, to give feel-good sermons, which, by the way, this will not be one. But just because our lips honor the Lord does not mean that our hearts do. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a very good thing to come together corporately, to worship together, to pray together, to listen to the word. But if something is not happening in your heart, if it's not drawing you closer to the Lord, or it's not helping to draw others closer to the Lord, then it's time for a heart check. Something is not right. It's a serious issue, and unfortunately, we see this a lot in Christian circles, even today. It is a dangerous trap for us. See, because if Satan can come in and convince us we're doing everything right, we're singing the right songs, we're praying the right prayers, we're giving the best sermons, then it opens the door to our hearts to let a pride come in, to let us think, oh, we've got it all together. We are good. And if it gets too far, eventually we can shut down and close ourselves off and not be able to hear our brothers and sisters, not be able to walk in that love towards others. And if that infiltrates our heart, that attitude, it eventually will come out of our mouth, because our words will give insight to what our hearts say. I like what your nephew said. Just because you think it doesn't mean you have to speak it. But sometimes we can't help it. We lose that filter. And this is partly why we put so much emphasis on being in the Word, standing on God's promises, knowing His truths, because these are the tools that He's given us to safeguard our hearts and our minds. But yes, sometimes we can read Scripture and not understand one word it said. And other times we can read Scripture and it's like this amazing light bulb went off and it just jumped off the pages for us. But sometimes we can read the Word and it can feel like nothing is happening, like it's dry, it's dull, we're numb to it. And at some point of all of our spiritual journeys, this will happen, and probably has already happened to many of us. And this can happen for a variety of reasons. But maybe, just maybe, it's a warning sign for us. Because if we choose to ignore it for too long, eventually our hearts can kind of stray off that path, and ungodly things can come in and start to penetrate our hearts. I mean, if we look at the Pharisees, they were reciting Scripture. They were praying all the right prayers. They were teaching the people, doing the sacrifices. But their hearts were defiled and far from God. On the outside, they looked like perfect, holy men of God. But on the inside, their hearts were filled with their own fleshly desires. Now, as we read from verse 19 today, Jesus said that in an impure heart, there will be evil ideas, murderous thoughts, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, lies, and slander. And I'm going to go out on a limb and bet that's not all we would find in an impure heart. If we have these things brewing in our hearts, they will eventually bubble up and out of our mouths. We really can only hide these things for so long. I mean, it even bubbled up and out of the Pharisees' mouths. Read about their story, their journey on how they plotted the death of Jesus. You can see clearly what was going inside of their hearts. And our hearts are critical. We need them. We need them not just spiritually, but we need them physically. Because physically, our hearts pump blood to every single organ in our body. It supplies our body with life. If the heart stops, the body can't survive. Now, spiritually, the heart, it's the lifeline with the Holy Spirit to the Father and the Son. So without our heart, where would the Holy Spirit dwell in us? Without our heart, how would we be connected to the Father and the Son? So we can't survive without a heart. If any of it part is damaged or defiled, every part suffers, physically and spiritually. And our hearts are uniquely placed. They are very well hidden and protected physically within us. No one can tell from the outside what's going on in the inside. The only way you can tell what's going on the inside of someone's heart, spiritually speaking, is what is coming out of their mouths. But sometimes we really don't know what's going on in our hearts. We have a good way of keeping it pushed down, turning the other eye, keeping ourselves composed in public. But sometimes, when there's just a little bit of pressure applied, we lose control and out comes and shows everybody what's going on. Or sometimes we just have to walk through a desert. We have to have everything stripped away from us. And we need to be put into a place that requires us to search for God. We need to look a little harder, cry out a little louder, and wait a little longer. In those seasons where we feel like God is so distant from us, it gives us the opportunity to examine our hearts and our lives, and we may just discover what those things we are harboring are. Sometimes God allows the pressures and the deserts to reveal the depths of our hearts to us. And it's going to happen to all of us. We all have blemishes in our heart. We all have things we need to work through. But that shouldn't be our excuse to shy away from God. That should drive us to God. Because God can come in. He can change our hearts if we allow him to. But when we don't, that's when Satan gets excited. Because there's his opportunity to drive a wedge between us and God. Oh, Satan will love nothing more to come and bring shame and guilt on you, make us feel like we can't go to God. Oh, we missed that mark so bad. How could we ever stand before God and ask for forgiveness of this? He would love to remind us how unworthy we are and how we just don't belong here. But God says, even in your failure, my love covers you. We absolutely belong. God said so, and that's all we need to remind Satan of who we are. The great I am says, we belong. The great I am says, I belong. That's powerful. You are wanted. You are loved. You are adored. And you do belong. Because you have been bought with a price. A price that only the one who loves you more than anyone will ever love you was willing to pay. That's powerful. That's how precious you are to the Lord. And there's freedom in coming to the Father. There's freedom in what's confessing what's in our hearts. It's a continual process that we have to be willing to come and confess those feelings to the Lord. And then we have to be willing to allow him to bring those root causes to the surface. Because there are deep things that cause these feelings. And that's all part of our transformation process. And it gives us an opportunity to grow our relationship with the Lord. But even a more awesome thing is to grow our trust in the Lord. Because it's not easy to open your heart wide open to someone you don't fully trust. Every single part. It's hard to do. So how do we know when our hearts have become defiled before we slam on the brakes and everything flies from? How do we know before that part? Well, I think there are many ways that we can tell, but there are two that I think are really important and easy to recognize if we're willing to. The first one is, what are you thinking about? Not your day-to-day tasks and all those things, but when all that's completed, what are you thinking about? What consumes your thoughts? Do your thoughts bring you peace, joy, happiness, thankfulness? Do you think about the Lord during the day? Do you look for him even in everyday simple things? If difficulty comes, where do you look first? To the problem or to the Lord? So if your thoughts bring you stress or anxiety, fear, negativity, then something is not right. Because what you think about in your mind will take root in your heart and will eventually overflow out of your mouth. So are your thoughts bringing you closer to the Lord or farther away? The second important thing is, what are you talking about? Are your words encouraging? Do you talk about God during the day? Do you thank him and praise him? Or are you speaking negatively, gossiping? Are you defensive or sarcastic? Do your words bring division? Or are your words bringing you and others closer to the Lord? And I think it's important that we add something in addition to the words we say. But because we have so much access to social media and email and all these electronic stuff, that also what overflows out of your heart can also overflow through your keyboard or your phones. If you're on social media, what kinds of things are you posting about? And the even bigger question to ask yourself is, why are you posting it? Is it edifying and encouraging others? Is it an opportunity to spread some hope and goodness in the world? Or is it coming back to us and just trying to draw attention to ourselves? Now, social media can be a great tool. It's used for many good things, but it's also one that can cause a lot of pain. And we need to be very cautious and careful on how we use it, because typing is just another form of verbalizing what's in our hearts. It's our words. And just like we can't take back our words if we have delete and somebody's read them, you can't take that back. It's there. But the good news is that we do have the ability to protect ourselves. We have a role to play in guarding our minds and our hearts. The most important thing that we can do is right in the very words of Jesus in John 15. It's to abide in him. If we invite him in to have an intimate relationship, an intimate fellowship with him, then naturally we'll be spending time in his presence. We'll be spending time in prayer and in his words. And our thoughts will start to change and they'll start to align with his. And like Paul says in Romans 12, we will be continuously renewing our minds. And as our minds change, what gets rooted in our hearts will start to change. We'll come to a place when we are so intimately connected to Jesus that we will be at a place where we can freely open our hearts to the Lord. We'll be so connected to him and we'll trust him. We'll allow him to go to those places. And we'll be able to say to him, just like David did in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know me." We'll open our hearts and he'll search us to help us protect our hearts and keep our hearts pure. But it requires us to be willing, to be committed, and to partner with God. And at some point, we're all going to have to deal with what's in our hearts. If we don't, it's just going to come up and out of our mouths. And when the pressure is applied in just the right spot, at just the right time, we'll pop. Or even worse, we'll just explode. Because we can only hold so much in for so long. We're not made to harbor ugliness in our hearts. Our hearts were designed to house the Spirit of God. Our hearts were made for the Spirit and for his fruit to flow out of us. Anything else is just not of him. Paul tells us in Colossians 5 that we either walk by faith and by the Spirit, or we walk by the flesh, but the two cannot coexist. To walk by the Spirit requires us to let God remove that junk from our heart and replace it with more of the Spirit. When we get filled with more of the Spirit, God changes us. He changes our hearts and he changes our thoughts. And then his thoughts become ours and his heart becomes our heart. And the deeper those things get rooted in our hearts, the less room we have from things that are just not of God. And before we know it, the words that are coming out of our mouth are words of God and not just words of our flesh. So, easy peasy, right? You guys got it? You ready to go home? Dave's ready. Well, none of this is easy. None of it happens quickly. It's not easy to face the ugliness of our hearts. It's not easy to go and to confess the Lord all that's in there. And it's certainly not easy to experience correction. None of us really like to be corrected. I mean, if you're married, you know how wonderful that gift of correction is. I know that when Dan comes to me with something, I am overjoyed when he comes because I know he's doing it all for my good. And I'm sure he'll tell you when I say, Dan, he comes running excitingly to hear what I have to say. Yeah, because we love correction. None of us like it, because it makes us have to look at ourselves, at our shortcomings, at our behaviors, our attitudes, and our intention. It doesn't feel good, and yet it still reveals a lot about what's going on in our hearts. Sometimes correction applies just enough pressure in that right spot, and out and up it comes out of our mouths. But sometimes we need that, because we can't always see what's going on in our hearts. We need God to help us see, what are we really challenged with? What is really the root cause? Because when we come and we acknowledge it before Jesus, he comes in and he cleanses us and he purifies us and he heals us and he sets us free from all those strongholds. Because those emotions, those feelings can become strongholds. They can take away our freedom if we don't deal with them. We also read today from Psalm 51, which is about David's heart and being cleansed from his sins, consecrating himself to the Lord, because he was determined to follow the Lord. Even when he failed, he went to the Lord. He picked himself up, and he continued to follow the Lord. And in verse 10 of that, David says, "Create a new, clean heart within me. Fill me with pure thoughts and holy desires, ready to please you." We all want to have clean and purified hearts. We want our thoughts to be pure and fixed on the Lord. We want our desires to be holy and to be God's desires. And we all want to live lives that are pleasing to the Lord, that bring glory to his name and point others to him. We all want to be that reflection of Jesus. And it's true, some people may never ever know what's truly in your heart, but God does. And it matters. It matters because our thoughts and our behaviors and our words, they all matter. Because those things are either being used to agree with the Lord or disagree with the Lord. Our words have the power to curse ourselves. And we do it and we don't even know that we're doing it. Because we can be careless with our words. We don't think before we speak. A thought pops in our mind and out comes out of our mouth. About 10 years ago, I said something out loud. In the privacy of my own home, with not a single person around, nobody heard what I said. Not at all. And then 2 years later, the very thing I spoke came to pass. I was confused and stunned. Why was this happening? I called out to the Lord, "Why are you allowing this to happen? This is awful. How could you let me go through this?" And he reminded me of those words that I had spoke 2 years before, because I spoke without even thinking about what I said. I was careless and nonchalant, and no one heard it, right? I asked the Lord to take something from me. And what did it reveal about my heart? Frustration, disappointment, stress, burdens, overwhelmed, tired. I just wanted him to take it from me so I could feel better. But see, I cursed myself because what I didn't know was that if I had endured and instead went to him and asked for help, there was a blessing because he had a plan. He had a path to work it out. But my heart didn't want to do it. And I cursed myself because what I spoke, he let came to pass. And what came to pass was far more worse than what I would have been walking through it. It was completely contrary to what God wanted for me. But my heart revealed to the Lord and myself what defiled it. So our words do matter, even when no one hears them, because they don't just come out and float out of our mouths into the atmosphere. Our words carry power to them. Proverbs 18:21 tells us that the tongue has the power of life and death. But that choice of life or death is our choice. So it does matter, because what we think about, it not only affects our words, but our thoughts, our behaviors, our actions, our present, our future, other people sometimes. And if we're thinking about things and speaking about things that are contrary to God, that's what's going to flow out of our mouth, and we're going to speak death. But if we're thinking about things that are of God and we're speaking about that, then we're speaking life. And I know it's very difficult to control what comes out of our mouths, especially when pressure is applied, or even when we're alone and nobody's listening to us. And we can't do it on our own, but we can do it. We need Jesus. Only Jesus can do this work in our hearts. Only Jesus is willing to go down to the depths of our hearts, to those very deep hidden places, to those ugly places, the places we don't want to ever let the light come to heal us and free us. Because the pressure is always going to be there. There's always going to be an opportunity for it to be at the right spot at the right time. There's always going to be an opportunity for us to stick our feet in our mouth. Always. But where there's pressure, there's always Jesus. And we want our hearts to be pure when the pressure is applied, because we want to open our mouths and reveal Jesus Christ. So the question we all have to ask ourselves is, so what's really in our hearts? What do we need to bring to the Lord? And are we at a place where we can come before the Lord and bring him our heart and our lives, bring it just the way it is? If it's angry, if it's hurting, if it's broken, if it's ugly, if it's happy, if it's joyful, just the way it is, bring it right to him. And allow him to speak truth to it. Because if we really believe that God is truth, that he is good, and he brings life, then we should be able to bring our hearts to him just the way they are. And let him cleanse us and purify us, make us whole and free us. Because he came to do that for each one of us. Now the worship team is going to play this song called Here's My Heart, Lord. And this song actually was started off written as a prayer. And it's a prayer for you to offer your heart to the Lord. And I encourage you to take this opportunity, this time, to just come before the Lord right now. To offer him your heart just the way it is. Ask him to speak truth to it, to cleanse it, and to fill you with more of him. Just bring your hearts the way it is to the very one who wants to go to the depths of your heart with you. Amen.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's
Hear the words of King David. Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul, and you understand my every thought before it even enters my mind. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book, and you know all the words I am about to speak. You know every step I will take before my journey even begins. You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. You formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb. How thoroughly you know me, Lord. You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place, carefully, skillfully shaping me from nothing to something. You saw who you created me to be before I became me, before I'd ever seen the light of day. Every single moment you are thinking of me. How precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in every thought. So, Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we invite your searching gaze into our hearts to examine us through and through, to find out everything that may be hidden in us. Put us to the test, Lord, and sift through all of our anxious cares. See if there is any path of pain that we're walking on, and lead us back to your glorious, everlasting ways, the path that brings us back to you. So here's our hearts, Lord. Here's our lives, Lord. Speak what is true.
Oh, Lord, thank you for the time ministering to our hearts and our minds. And speaking to us from your word. Just thank you, Lord. And we're ready. We give ourselves to you, along with our tithes and offerings, our time and talent, our testimony. Oh, Lord, we're all in. We're all in. You want us to lay ourselves down symbolically on the altar, and that's what we're doing today. We're with you. We're going forward. There's a promised land. You have shown it to us, and we're going with you. So, Lord, we can't do it alone. We need you. We know you're with us, but we worship you, and we bring you these offerings now. And all praise goes to you, all glory and honor. Amen. Amen. Let us stand together.
Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are our righteousness and you are our one defense. So as you go, I pray that the Lord will teach your song to rise to him, that you will know the height and the depth and the width of his love and be filled more and more with the Spirit of God and know that you are a beloved child of the living God. Amen.